Well, welcome to you all. We are in the second week of a four-week series on why we find strength in weakness, or perhaps more, how we find strength in weakness. Mentioned to you all last time that St. Paul is writing to the letter to the church in his letters to the Corinthians, his epistles to the Corinthians. He has to deal with the whole question of this Roman concept of doxa. Doxa is the Roman concept that a person's worth in this world is measured in their sense of personal value and how well their neighbors honor and respect them and how they can stand above others around themselves. That a person seeking out doxa would boast at every given opportunity, and this was expected of all citizens, that it was just a part of their ordinary life, that you would tell other people about how great you are, how great your family is, how great your accomplishments are, how great your house is, how great your livestock. You would boast about anything that came to mind specifically so you would be perceived as being strong, capable, commanding, powerful, respectable. So Paul comes into this and he reverses it all. He says to them, I'm going to boast to you about the things that have been horrible that have happened to me. I'm going to boast to you about my weakness. In fact, he concludes all of this by saying, if there's anything for me to boast in, it's my weakness. When I was in sixth grade, I don't know if you all have had this experience with any of your gym teachers, your PE teachers, but I had this experience and it stuck with me. Now, I know normal PE teachers are supposed to do things like teach you how to play basketball, teach you how to lift weights, teach you how to square dance, or whatever else it is, the fun stuff. You know, even if it's just running dodgeball tournaments, because that was always a fun thing when I was a kid. I don't know why we thought it was fun. You get hit in the face with a ball a couple of times, and you kind of walk away thinking, is this the game that I really want to be playing? But in sixth grade, I had this PE teacher who had an entirely different philosophy. He wasn't there to teach us sports skills. He wasn't there to teach us fair play. He sure wasn't there to teach us square dancing. He was there to condition us. And so every single gym during my sixth grade year, we started by running. And we would run for a couple of miles, and then it was time for calisthenics. And we did jumping jacks, we did sit-ups, we did push-ups, we did things I'd never heard of before, and we did that until none of us could do them any longer. And then we ran again. And that was the class. Every single PE class, that was the class. And we used to joke. We used to joke that we were fairly convinced that somewhere out there, somehow, our PE teacher and the ROTC trainer had gotten exchanged. That somewhere out there, there was an ROTC class learning how to square dance. Whereas we were doing PT. We were out there standing at attention, because that was a big thing for him, that you never stood at attention in lines, and you did, you know, these really, really uncomfortable, unpleasant. And he wasn't a particularly nice guy about it. He didn't just stand there, you know, in the wings saying, good job, come on, you can do it, run a little faster. No. He ran with us, which, you know, at least proved that he could do it. And then the whole time he would make fun of us because we weren't running fast enough. And then when we were doing the exercises, he would say things to us, and I'll never forget his favorite saying was, pain is the feeling of weakness leaving your body. And, you know, I remember being 12 years old thinking, I think maybe I'm okay with weakness. I mean, I'll stick with the weakness right now because this is too much pain. And that was the class. Pain is weakness leaving your body. And so I didn't enjoy physical ed that year. But I understood his point was that he wanted to give us the maximum quantity of physical conditioning that if we then wanted to play basketball or baseball, or if we wanted to run track or do anything else, we would have that fundamental level of fitness under it that we could then go do those other things. I just didn't enjoy the process very much. Pain is the feeling of weakness leaving your body. I think sometimes when we as Christians consider the question of pain, of suffering, and of weakness, and we hear the notion that in Christ, God uses our weakness to make us strong, we get the wrong idea about what that means. I think sometimes we get the idea that God will use the pain and suffering in our lives, the things that we are too weak to deal with, to bring us to a place of strength. If you suffer through this awful thing, if you come through this trial, you will come out stronger. You will come out stronger mentally. You will come out stronger faithfully. You will come out stronger physically. You just have to grit your teeth, bear it, and let God walk you through this really long, deep, dark tunnel, because when you come out the other side, you will be stronger. In other words, pain is just the feeling of weakness leaving your body. That's not what Paul says. That's, in fact, not what Paul preaches. You know, you hear the phrase, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Paul would be inclined to say, what doesn't kill you might very well maim you and leave you unable to get around, because that happened to him a lot. When he's giving this grocery list of awful, awful things that happened to him throughout the entirety of his ministry, he's like, I was beaten this many times, I was flogged that many times, I was shipwrecked, I was at sea by myself, I was, you know, all of these horrible things. I went without sleep, I went without food, I went without clothes. He doesn't come to the end of it and say, now look at me now, how tough I am. Look at how I've come through it and how strong and powerful my faith is. Look at how I've come through it and now I can deal with anything. No, what does he say? He says, now I look back on it and say, if nothing else, I can boast that I am weak. So when we talk about the blessing that God can give us through the gift of weakness, we're not talking about how we can grow and overcome. Now again, mind you, I'm not talking about spiritual weakness. You know, the writers here are talking very much about the real physical and emotional weakness. Spiritual weakness is the inability to make the right choice. Spiritual weakness is the inability to accept and to receive faith. Spiritual weakness is giving in to temptation. No. The author here, Paul, is talking about the weakness that we as human beings carry within ourselves that says, this thing I'm struggling with, I can't bear it myself. I am not strong enough to bear up under the weight of this awfulness. So why is it a good thing? Why is Paul saying it's a good thing? Well, I actually want to spend the next couple of weeks talking about the different ways that God takes that difficulty, that weakness, and does incredible things in our lives with it. I was at a conference earlier this fall. I had the opportunity to hear really marvelous Christian speakers give their testimonies and talk about how their lives had been changed and shaped by their experience with faith, and in particular, how they dealt with the question of weakness. And the one that stuck so strongly in my head was a pastor, and he was talking about the fact that his high school daughter, when she was just 16 years old, had been driving her car, had hit a patch of ice at 50 miles an hour, slid off the road, and hit a telephone pole head-on. She managed to survive, rather miraculously survive, the auto accident, but not without tremendous damage to her body, including a traumatic brain injury, a TBI. So grave was the injury that she was in coma for week upon week upon week, Not any ordinary coma, the deepest a coma, such that the doctors did not give her a strong chance of ever coming out of it. And if she did, they did not give her a strong chance of having any mental capacities left when she did wake up. Miraculously, she did wake up. And whether by divine providence or luck or however you want to look at it, the young lady, in fact, recovered remarkably. Enough so that in a couple of years, she was able to go away from home and go to college. But it was not without leaving marks. She still had the danger of seizures. She still had danger of short-term memory problems. But people would say to the speaker, the pastor who was speaking, what an incredible blessing it was that his daughter had recovered as well, as quickly and as thoroughly as she had. And he says he remembers when people would say this, he would smile and he would say, yes, isn't it wonderful? And him and his wife would be out in public and folks would say, how's your daughter doing? And they would tell of all the marvelous things that had happened. She's gotten back to walking. She's gotten back to running. She's gotten back to school. She's gotten back to studying. She's gotten back to having A's. And they would talk about all the marvelous things that was happening in her life. And his ministry suffered because he was suffering. You see, the truth behind it all was he felt like when people said, how do you feel? He had to talk about all of the great things that had happened. When folks said, what is an incredible blessing that your daughter's recovered so much? He felt like he had to say, yes, it's an incredible blessing. But that's not how he felt in his heart. How he felt in his heart was angry. He felt in his heart angry because his daughter had wrapped herself around a telephone pole at 50 miles an hour. He felt angry and miserable that his daughter had to recover from a traumatic brain injury. He felt frightened and worried and concerned that his daughter was going to have to struggle with the after effects of a traumatic brain injury for the rest of her life. But he didn't want to say that to his congregation, and he didn't want to say that to his friends, and he didn't want to say that to his family, because he didn't want anyone to think that he looked weak, that his faith wasn't making him rise above the situation with a smile on his face. And he found it increasingly difficult to do the job of ministry, because his heart was conflicted by the truth that he carried versus the lie that he felt compelled to tell. And one day he stood up in front of the congregation and he told them about how much suffering he actually was experiencing. And he stopped lying about what he really felt. He started talking about the fact that he was angry that had happened in the first place. Sad that his daughter had gone through what she went through. Worried, as any good parent would be worried, that this would directly impact the entire rest of her life. And uncertain as to what was going to come next. And here's the incredible thing. Through that process of laying out his weakness, it opened his heart up. It opened his heart up and people responded. People started coming to him from outside the church saying, we heard about what happened to your daughter. Let me tell you about what's going on in my life. I am really, really upset and worried right now. He started a Bible study for parents of children with traumatic brain injuries at the hospital where his daughter went for her rehab. People began to experience him in a different light, and his ministry grew. And what he was able to do with people grew, and the outreach in his congregation grew. And he says, he's speaking to us, he says, like, I don't want you to think of this as an evangelism trick. He's like, yes, did coming clean about the pain that I as a human being bear, did that make me more effective as a minister? It did. So am I telling you guys to go out and start telling your deepest, darkest secrets to your congregation on any given Sunday in hopes that it'll manipulate their emotions? That's not what I'm telling you. He says, what it gave me was humility. What it gave me was this incredible gift of being humble enough to stand before the people that I minister to, before my family, before my friends, before the whole of the world, and say, I am weak, just like you. And I rely on the grace of God fully for my every single day, just like you. One of the great gifts of weakness is it brings us to a place of humility. It brings us to a place of awareness when we recognize not just within ourselves all of those parts of us that are broken, but we then are able to look at our neighbor and see their brokenness, not with judgment, but with compassion. And that in doing so, we are able to extend the grace of Jesus Christ to those who need it as much as we do. One of the better definitions that I've heard of Christianity is not a food bank giving out the food of grace to those who are starving for it. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where they found the bread. That's who we are, one beggar telling another beggar where we found the bread. So I say to you all as we gather for this next couple of weeks to think about strength, weakness, honesty, humility. Think about those places in your life where you feel like you have to be strong for the people around you, but maybe it's not an honest strength. Think about those places where maybe you harbor a resentment or a pain or a suffering or a sorrow that you want the world to think that you stand above, but you don't. In fact, maybe it is, as St. Paul described it last week, a crushing burden that feels like you have received the sentence of death. Those were his exact words from 2 Corinthians last week. Be honest with God that you rely on God for your strength to get through that thing, and then be honest with yourself and say, I am weak, and be honest with your neighbor and say, I rely on God to overcome my weakness, and then allow the humility that God gives us as a gift to open your eyes to your fellow brothers and sisters around this world and see them as God sees you. Someone who is broken but worthy of love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and renewal. And in that, we receive an incredible power from the Holy Spirit to make changes and transitions in the people of the world that we live in. So I say to you all, until next week, think about how great it is to be weak. And next week we will talk about other ways that God uses our weakness to bless us immeasurably. Amen.